Hey there, everybody. How are you doing tonight? Welcome to Live with Baldy Pal. We have our special guest, Ryan from Renzi. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing phenomenal, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on the show. And Gary, Dixie Overland, how are you, buddy?
I am here. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be able to take some time out to get back on the podcast for this week. So that's always a blessing when that's the case.
And we are so happy to see your face again and hear that lovely voice of yours.
It's buttery.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Ryan, I wanted to tell you that I personally have been selling shoes just a little bit. Okay. I started getting tougher, more and more into shoes because men's clothing was just so slow to sell. Right. And as you know, shoes bring a bigger bang to the buck. So several of my commenters on my videos kept asking me about shoes when they saw I was doing more and more and more shoes. And I was like, who better than to get one of the best experts about shoes themselves on my show and ask and unload all the questions? Does that sound okay with you, man?
That sounds phenomenal, man. That's what we do all day long. And I feel grateful to do it here as well.
Absolutely. We have a good old time watching your videos, man. I learned a lot about how to clean my shoes properly from you. I want to say hello to a couple of people over here in the chat. We got Jeff with eBay Addicts showing up and Josh Flips Finds Fun. We got Justin over the Flipping Accountant. Thank y'all, gentlemen, for also joining us tonight in the chat. If you have any questions for Ryan, feel free to drop them in the chat and I will throw them in the mixture as we go along. Well, let's update a little bit. It's just you, Ryan. Lindsay, you said was on the tired side, right? What were you saying about 8 o'clock?
I'll tell you what, man. We were talking before that we jumped on here. In all transparency, it's 8 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. I'm in my kitchen and both Lindsay and I are usually out cold asleep by 8 p.m. Eastern. We live up in Maine. And I know that might sound crazy if you're watching this, but we have built our shoe reselling lifestyle around going to bed early, waking up super early. Mm-hmm. And we're taking advantage of it now because we have the newborn coming in October. And I can predict that it probably won't be that way come newborn.
I think that's a very safe prediction.
Yeah, safe bet.
You'll probably be wishing, you'll be just praying for the day to come around where you could actually go to sleep by 8 o'clock one day.
Yeah.
So what time do you start your day?
Lindsay gets up before me. She's usually up around 4:35 a.m. And then I usually get up around 5:30 or 6.
All right. Y'all do a little workout or something like that?
No.
Usually that's the workout hour, right?
Yeah.
For most people.
I mean, in all fairness, we don't do any kind of workout. We love walking our dog, Sydney. Yeah. And we live kind of out in the woods, so there's some great walking paths. And there a bunch of our neighbors that live, you know, a quarter mile down the road, they all have dogs. So we kind of do a big loop in the morning.
That is awesome. I got a nice dog I love, too. And Gary, we're all dog people, so that's good to know. We're all, you know, our brains are already aligned in that respect. I do like to start my interviews out with what I call the lightning round. It's just a couple of off the wall questions, kind of like A or B or this or that, you know, just to see where your brain is at. If you don't mind, let's get started with that. All right.
All right.
So the first question I have for you is burgers or pizza? What's your preference?
Burgers.
All right. And if there was a fight between Batman and Iron Man, who would win?
Dang, man. I'm 37 years old, so like my instinct went to Batman, but I'm down with Iron Man, man.
I know.
I think in 2021 I'm going Iron Man.
If anybody does any type of DC or Marvel, those are the two that I want to see fight up against because they're the non-superpower, self-made superheroes of the individual universes. And we got to see that one day.
I mean, Batman did fight Superman. I mean, you know, like, I mean, you know, and Iron Man fought Thanos. I mean, so it'd be close.
Man, it'd be close. It'd be really, really close.
I didn't know the conversation was get this intense, my friend.
it's intense fast. All right, so the next one's a little bit lighter. You got a little niece or a little nephew?
Yeah.
Okay, if you were at their birthday party, do you eat the cake or the ice cream? Which one?
I'm usually going ice cream because you can't really mess up ice cream.
No, it's hard to mess up.
But ice you can cream. Definitely mess up cake.
You ever tasted or made your own homemade ice cream?
Not yet, but now it's on the list.
Oh, sure. You got to, man. Yeah, a little bit of peach syrup in there or something like that. Maraschino cherries. Oh,
I'm down. Sorry.
I don't know if that's a southern thing or not, but that's how I love it.
I'm down.
Okay. But okay, who would you root for here? Wile E. Coyote versus the Roadrunner. Which one are you usually pulling for?
Oh, man. I like to root for the underdog. So the Wile E. Coyote is, I don't think he's ever won, ever.
No, I don't think I've ever seen him win either. But, you know, again, I'm an underdog rooter myself. And he's got to win one day. He spent just as much as Iron Man has on those little toys that he's got. And he's eventually going to have to win.
I'm a big believer in learning from your mistakes, though. So, and he certainly does not do that. So, I'll still root for him.
Yeah, man. Your kids are gonna have a different whole set of cartoons to grow up on. Oh, man, I loved Saturday morning cartoons. Absolutely. Yeah. And you said you were 37, right?
Correct.
I'm 40. Gary, what are you, 40, 41? I can't remember.
41.
We're all around that same age. Yeah. So you remember Looney Tunes growing up, right?
Dude, Tom and Jerry, oh, yeah. Bugs Bunny,
those are the good ones.
Yeah.
Those are the ones where they could use a – never mind, I won't go there.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move right along into this real conversation, if you will. The reason why we are here. Whose idea was it to start selling shoes? Yours or Lindsay's?
On our second date, I asked Lindsay to, if she would drive with me to go. It was snowing in Maine. And I said, some guy just put up an ad where he said there's free like lifting weights. Mm-hmm. They're buried in a snowbank about 30 minutes away. Will you come with me and go get them? And she was like, yeah, let's go. And so we awesome. Went. We
keeper.
Went second date.
And that's a keeper.
Guaranteed. I was like, this is the one. Fast forward to shoes. We started reselling out of a necessity. We were planning a trip to go down to Puerto Rico years ago before the first set of like really bad storms that came through.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have enough money for the plane ticket. So we looked around our house and started selling like the toaster and
anything that wasn't nailed down, right?
Yeah. Literally anything like wooden bowls. And we didn't have any like hype shoes or whatever. Like I had some running shoes. And the very first pair that we sold was a pair of Under Armour running shoes, men's 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them up on Facebook for $25. Met the guy at the grocery store, and the dude walking up to me was like 6'5" and had like size 15 feet. And I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Sorry, man, these aren't going to fit you.
So yeah. he hands me the money. I hand him the shoes and I go, I got to be honest. Like, can you try them on to make sure they fit? This is like my first shoe sale. And to appease me, he tried to jam his like giant feet into these shoes, and his heel is sticking out and his knuckles. And he goes, these are great. And I go, what?
It's like the old Cinderella story.
I go, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, I'm gonna flip these for $50. And I was like, wait, what?
Well, yeah.
I said, wait, you bought them from me for $25. You're gonna sell them for $50. So I get back to the car and I go, Lindsay, we gotta look into this shoe thing.
I think I priced them too low.
I priced them too low, and so that's when we both looked at each other, and then. What it boils down to, the long story very long, is trying all those things, the toaster, the wooden bowls, you know, everything. We like shoes. We like learning about shoes. We like sourcing them, photographing them, cleaning them. And we didn't like doing all the other stuff for the other stuff. And so we just focused on shoes and we haven't looked back.
So how, okay, remind me, how many years literally have you been just on the shoes, just the shoes?
That very first month, the first week we tested everything.
Yeah.
And then the second week we focused on shoes, and that month in June of 2017, we paid all of our bills with shoe money. So it's been a little over 4 years.
Okay. So shoes, there's just so flipping many types of shoes.
Yeah.
I have to ask, did you make mistakes along the way that you just regret as far as picking up the wrong set of shoes or something like that?
Well, very early on, we realized that we needed to track everything so that we could figure out what was working and what was not.
Right.
That comes from, you know, both of our experiences in other businesses. And so that very first month, we didn't know anything outside the normal brands, right? Like Nike, New Balance, Under Armour, Asics, like all the basics that everyone knows. That's all we knew. So that's all we focused on. And then very, very gradually, we started learning about other brands. And now present day, we sell, but like consistently every single month between 75 and 85 different brands. But we're always trying to learn more. I mean, there's thousands of brands out there when it comes to shoes. So we've made tons of mistakes. But from the very beginning, our mistakes, we still profit.
Right. Okay.
So we set the bar high for ourselves so that when we mess up, we're not big fans of like breaking even on our money.
I don't know who is.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Set the bar high, and then the backup plan is to learn but still make money on the pair.
Okay.
So Ryan, do you sell like sort of more athletic shoes, or are you guys more geared toward, you know, things like formal wear, business wear, different things like that? You know, kind of where do you look first, I suppose?
95% athletic shoes.
Okay.
So that's everything from that's a little generous. I would say 90% athletic, and then we do a ton of boots. We're in LL Bean country up here in Maine.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And, so we have access in the thrifts and the outlets to a lot of really great boots. Mm-hmm. And but that's another great point. It's a phenomenal question. Like, we don't even really, like, maybe less than 2% is business or formal wear. Mm-hmm. If we bring stuff in like that, it's always like Cole Haan, Vionic,
Allen Edmonds, all that good stuff, you know, the higher end stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, those are very profitable shoes, but we probably have less than 5 pairs in our current 2,800 pair inventory that are Allen Edmonds.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gotcha.
And again, not to say, this is what's so great about having the conversation about shoes is
we
consider ourselves very good at what we do, but we don't even scratch the surface of the potential of like all, even the different categories of shoes.
Right. Right.
Of the athletic brands that are the most popular, I'm going to name 4. I'm going to say Nike, Reebok, Brooks, Asics.
Yeah.
Which of those 4 are the ones you are like, just don't mess with them?
I would mess with all those.
You would?
Yeah. 100%.
100%. Okay. Which of those 4 is the lowest on the totem pole of those?
Reebok.
Okay, I was hoping you'd say that because that's what I was thinking. All right, so I'm learning here. I'm learning. Why is it? I mean, Reebok's like, in my opinion, it was probably the second most popular brand when I was growing up that everybody had. Is it just lost its flair?
Yeah, you nailed it. So all of us together growing up, Reebok's, you know, they had the pumps. They had
pumps.
They had
the Shaq shoes. You had the pumps. Yeah.
They haven't grown into this era yet. There are a couple influential people that are trying to buy Reebok and then kind of rebrand it and all that. But even saying they're low on the totem pole, like, I brought in a ton of Reebok today while I was outsourcing.
All right.
Don't skip over them. But if you only have $20. To spend, which was our weekly buying budget when we started, hands down, like, Brooks is probably up there. You're gonna find more Nike, and that's without question. You know, you pick up Nike, you pick up Brooks. But
Evan's got a really good question here. If you could only pick one brand to flip and stick with it, what brand would that be?
Flippy McFlipperson. That's a really good question, because the answer would probably depend on how, like, do I have access to this type of shoe all the time? Because then I'm picking, like, you mm-hmm. know, I'm picking Golden Goose, which is like this crazy brand that looks like the shoe is all trashed up, but they sell for $300-$500. But
how often do you see them?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. if you could only pick one brand to flip, if you tell me I have access without question to this brand at all times, it's going to be one of those higher end brands. But
now, I would say his question is going to be around what you have access to when what you pick up today.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reality is the brands that we tell people about, you can find in most thrifts. Like, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. hard to find a thrift that doesn't have a pair of like Nike Free Runs.
Yeah.
Like we find them all the time. We sell them for 3, 4, 5x our money very, very quickly. Men's, women's, youth. All. So like, that's a different answer to the same question, because it's easier access to that inventory almost anywhere on the planet.
So, I want to follow that question up real quick, because you said Nike. So I'm guessing you're going to go with the brand Nike. Someone told me once that a brand such as Nike, big, big brand, right? In the shoe world, at least, right? They make tiers of shoes. Like, you'll have like your shoe department and your rack room shoes, and you only see shoes that you'll see in those stores, right? And then you'll see Nike models that you only see in like Dick's Sporting Goods or Academy Sports. And then you'll see a different brand, a different model that you'll see in only like the Nike stores themselves. So is that true? Have you learned around that topic that there's really, there literally are tiers of shoes of like Nikes that were only available in certain, I don't know, low cost stores versus high cost stores?
Yeah. So where my mind goes when you ask that question, it's a really good one, is you're talking about the biggest shoe brand on the planet. So you're talking about the highest quantity of shoes. You're talking about the biggest buyer base. So there's so many different variables that they have to satisfy.
Yeah.
They, where my mind goes is how do they get money for each shoe that is produced? And so they're not just going to create all these super high-end pairs and then have it trickle down into their distribution. For example, if it doesn't sell at full retail in the you know, the pinnacle stores, it'll go to the outlets, that it then gets sold off to places like Marshalls and Burlington. They're so big and so many different buyers that as a reseller, you're going to have access to all the tiers because people use the shoes
and drop them off at Goodwill.
Right. And then they donate them. So I wouldn't worry too much about, like, if you're a reseller watching this, don't worry too much about, especially big brands like Nike, Adidas, New Balance. Our focus all the time is how to source the best shoes consistently. And this is the most important part, at a price that is profitable, because any of us can right now go on to Nike.com and source like the best shoes ever,
but right.
they're not profitable at that price.
Right. No, absolutely not. When you're tracking your prices, do you do an average for your entire day of buying, or do you keep up with each individual pair?
We average our buy cost every 7 days. So for example, today, I did a little sourcing route. Well, I mean, wasn't a little sourcing route. It was, you know, hundreds of miles. It was Maine down to Massachusetts, parts of New Hampshire, and back up here to Maine. Mm-hmm. And we brought in, I think, 216 pairs of shoes today. It was an average buy cost, a little over $9 per pair. We're going to continue to source probably one other day this week. We also just bought a lot of shoes, a 300 pair lot we just bought off a gentleman in New Jersey, and so he's dropping those off tomorrow, and so we're going to average our buy cost with all that together. So our goal is to be ordering from a wholesaler you know, truckloads of shoes that will be dropped off, and in that scenario you don't know the price per shoe.
Right.
So you're like, okay, I just bought 1,000 shoes.
1,000 shoes and the full cost.
Okay. So we're running our business as if we're doing that already, except we're just building our own truckload until we find that good partner.
Okay. Sticking with the one category, I could see that makes that a lot easier, right?
Yeah.
Gary, what's up, man?
I was going to say, so Ryan, how do you store all of these shoes? I mean, you said you have 2,800 pairs in inventory, and it sounds like you're picking up quite a few during these trips. Do you store them at your house? Have you got a shed? Do you have an off-site location that you store them at? And how do you keep them inventoried to where you don't lose track of them or you don't misplace any of them or whatnot? You know, how do you find them easily when it comes time to pick them and ship them?
Yeah, that inventory question, I'm really curious about.
You're asking the best questions. And whenever we answer the inventory question, we always make sure people should be focusing on 1 through 5 should be, how do I sell these shoes quickly? Mm-hmm. And then step 6, how do I store the shoes that aren't going to sell for a week?
Okay. Right.
And then people say, well, what are you talking about? Like, what? No. Let's start at the base level. You want to bring stuff in. We always say we're not in the business of storing shoes. We're in the business of selling shoes. Most people get caught up with trying to figure out how to store and keep dust off the shoes that they don't focus on the 5 ways that they could sell the shoe. So when shoes come in and they've been there longer than a week, now we have 2,800 pairs. You'd be surprised how many pairs you can fit in a small space. So we've been doing this for 4 years, all the way up until October of last year, we worked out of our apartment. Mm-hmm. So like a bunch of shoes would come in. We had rows of shelves just by size. So it'd be men's and women's size 6 and below, because we don't source as much as those. Then it'd be men's and women's size 7, men's and women's size 8. Mm-hmm. The snowflake effect with shoes makes it easy to find the shoes. So the heel, when you're looking at the back of a shoe, I'm wearing sandals right now, so otherwise I'd show you. The back of a shoe is different on every shoe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And most people don't realize that. So when we store the shoe, we've got it like one shoe on top of the other with the heel sticking out. So when something sells, we just got to find the back. And then when you narrow it down, like I'm looking for a white shoe or a red shoe or orange shoe or blue shoe, then it's easy to see the difference. It may not work for everyone. We also do a different storage system where for the consignment part of our business, every single shoe has a clothespin with a number attached to it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's 1 through 500. And then that number is then attached to the listing. So you just got to find the number. You don't even need to know what the shoe is. But
perfect.
That doesn't work as well because of the different sizes of shoes in our general merchandise compared to our consignment.
Excellent. Cool. Okay.
That is a really neat way of doing it. Like you said, focus on moving the product more, which is much more important, because I never heard it said before, but you're right. And I don't think any of us are in the business of storing the things we want to flip. We want to move them as fast as possible. Right. Yeah. So Josh has a really good statement here. Don't sleep on Brooks Addiction Walker dad shoes.
Yeah. I came up on a gold mine of Brooks Addiction Walker shoes today.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm so glad that comment came out. They're going to be sold by tomorrow for sure.
For sure. Yeah. So my question is let's take Brooks for instance. Is there a model or a style of Brooks that you would stay away from? Just no matter what, just they're not worth your time and effort.
I can't think of one off the top of my head. It comes down to condition.
Yeah. Okay.
Any pair of Brooks that's in good condition. And here's why. This is probably more valuable. These brands do all the work for us resellers.
They're doing their own marketing.
Yep.
Everything. They build such a cult following that all you have to do as the reseller is find these shoes in a great condition at a good price. Like, that's it.
Understood.
What up?
Hey, Profit Monsters is here. Ryan is the man.
Yo, appreciate you, Drew.
Absolutely. I think it's more along the lines of, you said it, that you buy lots of shoes at once. You only focus on shoes. Because of that, you have the ability to take your average price for all the shoes that you bought, whether it be in that trip or that day or that week.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I only personally, let's say I came across 3 pair I'd be willing to pick up and sell, because my average buy cost, unfortunately, has gone up to around $10 per pair, right?
Yep.
So you've got to be, a lot pickier when the buy costs go up. Have you moved recently or in any point in time in your reselling career, have you ever come across a store you've just decided you're not going to go there anymore because you've noticed that they're doing something like either their product isn't as clean or their prices have gone up or any reason like that?
Yeah, all the time. So over the last 4 years, every day people reach out to us and say, my thrifts are too expensive.
Yeah, they do get a lot expensive. I hear it all the time too.
So here's exactly what happens in every single thrift. They try to jack up the prices.
Yeah.
And then everyone complains and they start selling less shoes and then they bring the prices back down or they go out of business.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Or we go somewhere else as resellers. I just told you I brought in 200 pairs plus today. The closest stop was almost 2 hours away from where we live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That trip took you all day, didn't it?
All day, but we're going to net over $5,000 profit, worst case scenario, on the pairs we brought in today.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, like, excellent.
I really want to stay on this topic because I think people will get value out of it.
Okay.
There's also so many ways to lower your buy cost that people don't do.
Okay. Name a few.
So you buy a toddler pair of shoes that goes up against that $20 pair. So most of the time, toddler shoes, I'm talking fits in the palm of your hand,
right,
are less expensive than the adult shoes. So if you've got a pair that's $20 that you love, you grab that pair, and then you grab the toddler pair that's $2, now you have two $11 pairs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so now, bring that average down.
You see what I'm saying? Now, it's 11 is still more than our $10. So, and you don't just pick any random toddler pair. You pick the baby Jordans or... Mm-hmm. You know, the baby runners that have an adult version. We always say we only bring in small shoes that have an adult version because mom and dad are buying theirs and then buying the same one for their little one. That type of thing. That will drastically lower your buy cost. Obviously going on sale days, obviously taking advantage of rewards programs. We've had people in the Midwest, for example. Where are you guys located?
Southeast, Georgia and Alabama.
Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We had a woman reach out to us from on Instagram in Oklahoma. And she was like, yeah, my Goodwills don't have any sales ever. And so I called the Goodwills in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me all the sale days. They have like 99 cent days. And then I messaged her and I said, in 12 seconds, I found out when these days are. Most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that there aren't thrifts out there that just jack up the price. I mean, I looked at a pair today that was $120 on the shelf.
Oh my word.
So I left that pair on the shelf.
I was about to say, did that help did you have enough shoes to bring that average down?
I leave the $120 pairs on the shelf. But the point is there's always a way to lower your buy cost or just go to different thrift.
Yeah. Drew's got a good point here. There are literally so many places to source and find inventory. There are no excuses. Drive somewhere else, go to the bins, hit garage sales, flea markets, etc. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And you know what? Now that the area that we're in, Gary, you're currently staying kind of in the Auburn area over the past year for the whole world reason. But I'm thinking that same exact thing as I'm going through my Goodwill, like today on my thrift lunch break. I'm looking at $10 pairs of shoes, $15 pairs of shoes. I came across four pair of Tony Llamas that looked the worst condition you ever seen them in, and they still wanted $50 a pair for the boots.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I've got to find somewhere else. I've just got to find somewhere else. You keep going to the same place, seeing the same thing, you're going to not be able to pick up anything and you'll run yourself into the ground. Drew's absolutely right. No excuses. There's plenty of places. You just got to go find them.
Yeah, very true. The one thing we haven't talked about either is the sweat equity element.
Yes. What's that?
Like
the cleanup time,
right? You got to clean the profit into these shoes. We talk about no excuses. We would go to the bins in the morning when we first started because our buying budget was so small. And we'd buy three or four pairs that everyone would pass on. We'd spend all day cleaning them and then we'd sell them for $25. And now we had, $100.
Yeah.
And then we'd do that again and repeat. And that's how we sold our first 1,000 pairs of shoes. But then we learned how to clean shoes. We also learned how to tell the difference between damaged and dirty and do it and clean efficiently. Sweat equity is the dark horse in reselling that doesn't get enough talk and will turn someone from I don't know if I can pay all my bills to, holy crap, I have more money than I can imagine.
So absolutely. I'm going to ask, sweat equity is part of it. And there's a difference between just a pair of shoes that got donated because somebody ran them through a mud puddle versus the underneath all that mud, you may find that it's peeling and falling apart.
Yeah.
What do you do in the store to like, are you quick about it or do you, are you quick to just turn them away? You come across a pair that looks like it's going to need some cleaning, but what if up underneath, you know, do you have those fears or those possibilities running through your head about what could be underneath that you can't see?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
yeah.
The big thing that it sounds like you're talking about something like dry rot
yeah,
that's like the most. Mm-hmm. So all you got to do is the twist test. I'm going to use my Nike, you know, flip flop. Imagine this is a shoe. You grab it on the heel, you grab it on the tongue, and you literally try to rip the shoe in half while, yeah, you're in the, mm-hmm, while you're in the thrift. Any brand that we want to bring in should have a shoe that can withstand that.
Okay.
That's also going to tell you, you're going to hear things,
mm-hmm,
or if there's dry rot, the shoe is going to literally demolish in your hands.
And, right. Right.
And I've had, you know, I've had the thrift say, why did you do that? And I say, why is this on the shelf?
Yeah. Why'd you put it up there? Yeah.
So we do that. There's another thing. We do the pinch test with things like Converse and Vans, where you pinch around where the laces are and you, yeah, literally, you try to pinch as hard as you can. And that pulls the material in off the rubber sole. And you want to make sure that it's still in good condition. If it's not, mm-hmm, you're going to be able to see that it's ripped off and things of that nature.
Separating at the crease and the, mm-hmm, toes lines and stuff like that. Yeah.
So, Ryan, do you ever repair shoes? So if you get a pair and you're like, man, mm-hmm, this could make me some money if the sole just wasn't coming off. If we just put a little bit of shoe glue on it or whatever you use, will this, you know, do you even go through that level of effort to it?
Yeah. So what I call those project pieces.
Okay.
And we have brought pairs in and we've tried those things. The best advice I can give is you can go both ends of the spectrum, right? Like someone just commented, I don't like pouring the sweat equity in. I like to get only that look very good. So I don't have to clean. That's Gravity Goods is on point. Like, mm-hmm, that's what you're talking about is seeing 10,000 pairs of shoes and bringing in the best 50. Like that's mm-hmm, amazing. The stricter you source, the better everything is. Now the other end is if you don't have the time to look at 10,000 pairs, if you don't have the money to buy the ones that are a little bit more, you have to pour more sweat equity into it. So try to do those things. I keep thinking of this young kid who goes around these dumpsters. He's on YouTube and he pulls out these shoes that are demolished. Like demolished, and he restores them and he sells them for $100 more than they retail.
Wow.
And it's the hype behind him like doing it, right? Like, right, anyone can buy those shoes for $100 less at any point, but they buy them off him because he's restored them and all that. So you got to pick where you want to be in the scenario. And it gets real tricky when you start gluing shoes, soles back together and all, mm-hmm, that. So it's whatever you want to put into it. We try to stay away from it after trying it and not enjoying that part of it.
So you're okay with tossing them in case they made it into your cart and you missed it in the store. You're okay with tossing them, right?
So this is a great question. We bring a pair in and for some reason we miss something and it's not sellable. We will look at the insoles and see if they're good because sometimes a pair could be ripped on the outside but have great insoles. And then we'll try to use those on a brand that may not have it. We'll check at the laces. If the laces are good, we'll pull those out. Or we'll re-donate them. And then a lot of times when you donate, you get a coupon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You know, I never even thought about parting out shoes.
Yeah.
You know, for the laces or for the insoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there money in laces or insoles or do you use them for other pairs who need them?
Like, other pairs that need them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So because you've zombied the pair, yeah, that was no good and you've got laces and insoles extra, I guess picking up a pair of Hokas with no insoles isn't that bad of an idea if you happen to have them at the house and you got a stack of Hoka insoles size 9 to 10 or whatever it is, right?
Perfect example of exactly that. And you can sell shoes with no laces and no insoles and all that, but we stay away from that because of the 30,000 foot view, right? You may get that one sale, but as people are looking at all your inventory and they start seeing stuff that's missing, they're you're training them to think that something is missing in everything.
In any pair they may pick up from
that. I can see that.
Yeah, that's really good. Jeff with eBay Addicts has a good question here. What about the smell test?
Hell yeah.
I was personally wondering, with all those pre-owned shoes you had that you bring on, do you have a lot of odor readers or deodorizers plugged into your room?
We don't. No stinky shoes get into our car.
Nothing makes it. Yeah, nothing makes it into the base.
The next part of that conversation is, it's weird as to be smelling shoes in the thrift. What I recommend is just the waft. You don't get into it.
You just bring it towards your nose.
Yeah. It was harder when masks were mandatory and all that, because then you really got to get in there. But no, we don't bring any stinky shoes home ever. That's like one of the first things, is if there's a smelly shoe, I don't care if it's a dead, like an amazing pair of Jordan 1s, like, it's not coming in my car.
That is an awesome question, then. I would not have thought you would have said no to all stink, no matter what the
here's the it could bring part. In. There's tons of shoes that don't smell bad.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is.
But
the materials they're made out of these days, right? I mean, they're not made out of the same materials they used to be made out of, like 10, 15 years ago. It's all the antimicrobial stuff, the synthetic materials and all that, right? So, I mean, I would see that being the case.
Don't get me wrong. I'll turn into one of the aisles and I'll be like, like, where's the Jack in the Box in this aisle?
Right. Yeah, the dead rat.
Yeah. And then you work your way down, and then until you find it, and then you go wash your hands.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Nice. I want to take a break. It is. We've been going on so good about conversation, I almost completely lost track of time. I wanted to play a game while we had a bunch of people up in here who could play along with us. So, gentlemen, let's just take a quick break for a minute and let's play a quick game of Flea Market Flip. All right. So this is going to be a twist on the game Flea Market Flip, where essentially what Flea Market Flip is I would take you to the flea market and I'd introduce you to 8 or 9 or 10 products and a price that they have to pick it up for. And you get to choose 3 of those products. And the other guy, Gary, gets to choose 3 different products. And whoever makes the most profit would win.
Awesome.
This is the shoe version of Flea Market Flip. All right. So what I did was, I was doing some research and I came across this blog post from Europe, and it stated, the title was, "The 17 Most Expensive Shoes Sold in 2020.
Most expensive shoes.
Yes. So instead of all 17, because I'm sure, Ryan, that you probably know the top 3 or 4 or 5. So I took the bottom of the list, because who's going to remember the bottom of a list of the top 15, 16, 17 shoes? Okay. All right. So I took the bottom of that list, and I'm going to go through, let's put Ryan on top so everybody can see his face. I'm going to go through each one of these shoes, and you need to grab a pen and grab a piece of paper so you can make some notes as I go through the list. And what you're going to do is, you're going to do kind of a round robin, Ryan, then Gary, Gary, then Ryan, then Gary. And you're going to pick 3 of these 10 shoes, but you cannot pick the same one the other guy picked. And whoever picked the 3 that has the most value wins. Okay.
All right.
So let's go through these real quick. Number 1 is the Air Jordan 4 Eminem. Now, I honestly never even knew that Eminem had a shoe named after him, but you're actually going to find his name in here twice. So what you need to do is, we're going through this and I'm going to let the chat flow. So if they want to cheat for you, well, don't literally cheat and look it up, but you know, if you want to help them out, how about that? you can, right? Okay. So that's number 1, Air Jordan 4 Eminem. Shoe number 2, Air Jordan 5, the Trophy Room. Okay. So make some notes in your head and on paper what you think these might go for.
Pause.
Okay.
So we're going to go back and forth after you list them all and pick 3 total.
Correct.
All right.
So you don't pick any right now.
Got it.
All right. Number three is the Chanel X Feral X Adidas NMD Hue. Now, I'd never even heard of these shoes. I heard of Pharrell's, but I've never heard of this one. But this is the Chanel Feral Adidas shoes. Mm. All right. And by the way, these are in no particular order except maybe alphabetical. Mm. That's it. Not price order, so don't worry about that. DJ Khaled, how do you pronounce that word?
Khaled. DJ Khaled, yeah.
Khaled X Air Jordan 3 Grateful. Now, who is Khaled? You immediately knew how to pronounce that name. Who is Khaled? Is that DJ a person?
He's
okay. He's a DJ.
Yeah,
I've never heard of him, dude. I'm country boy through and through. Never heard of him.
Love it.
All right, the next shoe, Eminem X Carhartt. Carhartt, that was a complete surprise to me.
That kind of an odd pairing, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Eminem and Carhartt Air Jordan 4s. Then you got the Macklemore Air Jordan 6 Cactus shoes. Now, come on, those just look awesome. The cactus shoes. All right, you might recognize these, but these aren't the originals. The Nike Air Mag Back to the Future 2016 version. Okay, 2016 version from, you know, modeled after the ones in the movie, but not the ones from the movie.
Got it.
The Nike Dunk Low Staple NYC Pigeon. Now, why are they putting a pigeon on their shoe, guys?
The very, very famous shoe.
Yeah.
All right. The pigeon, the Nike Dunk Pigeon. The Nike Air Max 97 Jesus shoes. The walk on water. Apparently, there's water in the bubble.
Yeah.
And then, lastly, the Nike Yeezy 2 Red October. All right. These are some very expensive shoes. So, here's a score list of all 10 of those shoes. Now, I hope you've been writing down some numbers because, Ryan, you're going to go first. You get to pick your first pair. And then after all three, after you choose all three, you and Gary are going to have a back and forth. I'm going to show you the ones you didn't pick see what they went for. All right. So you just pick one. What's your first pair, Ryan, that you want to claim for your game?
The Eminem Carhartt Air Jordan 4.
Eminem Carhartt. Okay. Let's mark those yellow for you. All right. All right. Gary, what's yours? What's your first pick?
I'm going to go with the pigeons.
The pigeons. All right. So Gary gets the pigeons. All right, Ryan, what is your second choice?
Macklemore Air Jordan 6 Cactus.
All right. Macklemore Air Jordan 6 Cactus are yours. Gary, your next choice.
I'm going to go with the Yeezy Red Octobers.
All right. And Ryan, your third and final pair.
Man, this is tough. I think it's, well, I don't want to give it away to Gary. It's between two.
No, don't give it away.
I'm looking at your little list here. I think I'll just go with the Air Mags, 2016 Air Mags.
Okay.
That leaves a lot of fruit on the tree for you, Gary.
It does. It does.
All right, Gary, your third pair.
I had one that I was looking at before, but I think I'm going to swap it up.
Uh-oh. That might be the detrimental decision.
Could be. I'm going to go with the DJ Khaled's.
All righty.
Good choice.
All right. So you've picked your three. Both of you have. Let's look at the prices that you did not pick, just so that we can wow the crowd, all right? The Air Jordan 4 M&Ms. Are $32,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
$32,000. The Air Jordan 5 trophy rooms are $10,000.
These were the least expensive on the list of 17, by the way.
Correct. These were the least expensive.
These aren't even luxury brand. Wow. Okay.
All right. The Chanel Feral. Say what, Ryan?
It's the collaboration. It's the names. That
yeah. To yeah.
So the Chanel Feral Adidas are 10,000.
I almost went with those. That was the one I was hemming and hawing about.
And you honestly, because these are the lower end of the list, you might, those are on the lower end of the lower end. Mm-hmm. All right. And then this one is the Jesus shoes. Nobody picked the Jesus shoes. They're $4,000. Those are on the lower end of the list. So y'all actually did really good. Y'all picked some of the higher ones. All right. So Ryan, we're going to go and look at just your first pair. $30,000 for the Eminem Carhartt Air Jordan 4s.
Good shot.
$30,000. So I'm going to write that in right there. $30,000. Okay. Now, Gary, your first was the Pigeons.
That's right.
$16,000.
I mean, I'd still take it if I found it.
Those Pigeons have gone up, too. That's good.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Now, the Macklemore Cactus was your second choice, Ryan. $25,000. Jeez, people spend some money on some flipping shoes.
Sneakerheads, yeah. Right? Isn't that what the collectors are called? Sneakerheads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Your second choice was the Red Octobers, right?
That's right.
$7,500. Wow.
All right.
Oh, you got a lot of room to make up.
Yeah, I do. Unless there's a $100,000 one on the list.
DJ Khaled's got some expensive shoes.
All right, your Air Mags from 2016. Ryan, are you ready for this?
I am.
$35,000.
Man.
Those were actually the more expensive ones on the list.
I was leaving those out there for you with the Back to the Future.
You know, it's funny is I thought I saw some of those on eBay one time, and for some reason I thought that they didn't sell for as much, and I was surprised by that, but...
There's different versions that sell for less.
Yeah, I must have just looked at the wrong ones. So,
all right. And then your last pair, Gary, is $25,000.
Man.
I think this one is kind of a takeaway. Though, if you had lost to Ryan, there'd been a lot of, a lot of explaining to do. So, yeah. I'm looking for... I can't even find it. I'm looking for the summary and I can't find it in my head.
90,000.
Yeah, that's at 90,000, man.
Yep.
And you're a little shy.
Yeah, you could say
just,
that.
Just a little shy there. You're at 48,500.
48,500. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Those six pairs of shoes are
in there. You go.
That's insane.
That is ridiculous, though.
Yeah.
But that's flea market flip, the shoe edition.
Love it.
Congratulations, Ryan. You
congrats.
Didn't
congrats.
Let us down, man. You know your shoes. You know your shoes.
It feels good.
For
feels
sure. Good. It's kind of like you just makes you feel reinforced that you know you've got a good business going on. Everybody knows what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, you talk about anything. You talk about VCRs and I'm out.
Oh, look. Derek says that those Air Mags are worth $1,600. Or 16,000. A little off there, man. A little bit more than that. Yeah, but Josh called it. And you know what? I'll admit, Ryan, I told Gary early on, I was like, I don't know what to do, man. He's a shoe reseller. That's all he does. I don't know what else challenge. I can do.
I'm up for any challenge. Bring it. That's
well,
what I
I'll
think.
Tell you what. I was worried when you first announced it because I don't really – put a lot of effort into the more expensive shoes. A lot of our sales and bread and butter is buy under 10, sell for between 30 and 60.
Mm-hmm.
You
gotta like nurture the bread and butter, right?
Yeah.
That's what puts the bacon on the table. Yeah. All of these are like bucket list items, you know?
Yeah.
If you come across them, yeah, you'll pick them up. Well, unless they stink, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
if I ever saw
a pair. Ryan, would you leave behind a stinky pair of 2016 Air Mags?
No.
But you know, I mean,
finding
something like that in a thrift store is going to be, that's one of those things you're going to be making the news for, you know, or something like that.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You'll definitely be making the news. They made the news in Texas, a guy in a Texas Goodwill Benz, I think it was, found a game. Like an old Atari game or something like that worth
$10,000.
Mm-hmm. And he made the news because of it.
Yep. There was a person.
There's too many filters until it gets to the customer that an employee the eBay team at the Goodwill or the Salvation Army. Like, yeah, there's too many filters. I mean, every once in a great while, you'll find a pair that they didn't know. But like anything that we just saw on that list, there's no way it's ever getting through if it's authentic.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And, you know, with the whole e-commerce of Goodwill, that filter, when they added that, what, about 2 years ago?
Yeah.
They quit putting the really good stuff that us resellers would always be looking for in the store, because they all just get pulled for e-commerce no matter what the condition is.
Do you know the thing, and this doesn't have anything to do with shoes, but as far as the best find that I've ever heard of, that came from a yard sale, and it was in the New England area, which makes sense as to why when I tell you what it was. So somebody bought an old antique desk, right? It's an old antique desk, you know, dated back a couple of hundred years or so. They get it home and they're cleaning it up and they look, and there's basically this like almost like a secret compartment behind it, you know, and they undo the secret compartment that's in it. What's inside of it? An original copy of the Declaration of Independence.
What?
Because, you know, so they had to handwrite all of those back in the day, you know, so it was an original copy that, so what it was is they, whenever the Declaration was written, they sent out a bunch of copies to different legislatures and leaders and all that in different areas. But because this was like, if you got caught with this, you were going to be hung, they had to hide it. And so they hid it in this desk for years and it stayed preserved. I mean, that's a priceless item. I don't even know what price you put on something like that. That's, you know, yeah.
Whatever price they paid for the desk.
Yeah. Yeah, you could say I think they paid a few hundred bucks for it, and they probably thought they were getting a deal, the people that sold it. You know, then,
absolutely. When you average in your buy cost of all the other desks.
That's right. Yeah, can you make up $10 million on the original copy of the Declaration?
That's the craziest one I've ever heard.
Yeah. That is ridiculous. Yeah. Jeff's got a question for you, Ryan.
Yep.
What's your average sale price when you sell shoes? He says he saw that you had $250,000 sold on Poshmark.
Yeah, we have double that, actually. We have $490,000 after the 20% fees. So it's nice. It's up near $600,000. Our average sale, we bring back in an average of $35 to $40 after the fees on Posh.
$35 to $40 on average
per pair. So that's whatever, 20% more, so
right
after the fees. That's the only way our minds think, is like, after all fees, how much do we bring back in?
Right.
So that would be around just under 50.
But that's a really good average.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a really high average, actually. Considering all the shoes you have in your inventory, $30 to $40 per pair, and your average buy cost is what you said, less than 10 is what you like to aim for.
Yeah,
I mean, that's four times on your money per pair.
Yeah, we average 4xing our money. Our game plan is the worst case scenario, after all fees and taxes, to double our money.
Right. No, that'll work though all day long.
Yeah.
Let me turn the tables a little bit, because I came across something I didn't even know. Ryan's Gallery or Renzi Gallery.
Yeah.
I came across that Instagram while I was, you know, researching and looking into it. What is that? Is that all you?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a product of curiosity and the pandemic.
So tell us about it. What is Ryan's, I'm sorry, I keep saying the wrong thing. What is Renzi Gallery?
It's just some of the art that we do.
Yeah. And it's like, just like spinning art.
Yeah.
Just all kinds hand painted art. All kinds of art.
Just messing around. My wife Lindsay is way more artistic than I am, but I have this like constant urge to be creative, and it's not necessarily a great thing in the reselling business, because the best case scenario is to create systems that you can repeat rather than like create these new systems over and over again. And so leading into what we didn't know was going to happen, obviously, with the global pandemic, but we started, you know, using that as an outlet to get some of the creativity out. And I've tried a bunch of different stuff with sewing. I've tried a bunch of different stuff with a whole bunch of different stuff. But people started asking. We were doing Insta stories on our normal page, and they started asking more and more about it. And so we wanted to separate that, because it goes on and off. Like, we're 100% in the shoes on Renzi now. And then every once in a while, we'll post some stuff on the Renzi Gallery. It's just another outlet.
It looks really good. I honestly was never a huge art fan, but I come across every now and again a few Instagram pages that display their art, and that yours caught my eye, and I really liked it a lot. Another guy does some impressionistic, like comic book characters or cartoon characters, and that just caught my eye. It's just really neat art. So that's really cool.
I have a lot of respect for people that do create art. Whatever it is, I mean, even in 2021, like a lot of the NFTs that are coming out and like all the like Beeple. I don't know if you've heard of Beeple.
No, I don't think I have actually.
So he creates digital art. He's an older gentleman and he just sold a piece of digital art for like $69 million.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Ridiculous.
So oh like, I have respect for obviously the, you know, paint to canvas. I have a lot of respect for all. Mm-hmm. It you have to put yourself into it. And I don't consider myself an artist. That's just a vent for my ADD creativity.
I got you. And it's a good one. Y'all should go check that out. Everybody, I really wanted to tell y'all thanks for coming out tonight. Ryan, especially, you just leaked a bunch of knowledge and dropped the bombs on shoes with us. And I love it. I'm going to listen to this over and over and over again, because I'm willing to bet that even as I was hosting this, I've got more I could learn. I have started setting up my own little shoe shelves because as a lot of viewers know, I've transitioned from men's clothing to electronics and shoes. Or some hard goods, but mostly electronics and shoes. So I really appreciate your time. You've taught us a lot, whole lot, absolutely. Especially with the smell test.
Yeah.
We will keep that in mind 100%.
Yeah.
Everybody, if by any way, shape, or form have not already subscribed to Renzi, this YouTube channel, I've put the link in the description below. I've also got Gary's YouTube channel, Dixie Overland, in the description below. Gary, what is yours looking like right now? You had any major Jeep overhauls?
Oh, yeah, to say the least. As a matter of fact, one of the Jeeps that we were doing a motor swap on, we finished the motor swap, and it's running and driving. So, you know, when that motor cranks for the first time and it coughs to life, it is, I mean, it's like you just scored the winning goal in the World Cup. I've got another Jeep that just took its place in the garage. The one that I think I told you I bought for $800 from my buddy needed a fuel pump. So I had to drop the fuel tank and I think I snapped, how many bolts? 4 or 5 bolts because they were so rusted underneath because of the fuel leak. Broke them, so I have to replace those. But so I'm about to pump about $250 into it. Parts are on the way. Once I get them in, I should hear that cranking noise again. So fingers crossed on that. And they'll be going up for sale very, very shortly. So if anybody's interested in a Jeep, hit me up. I'll make you a good deal.
You got to keep us up on the date on that, because that's going to be the biggest flip I've ever seen you do.
That's true. Yeah. And I kind of feel, you know, similar to Ryan's story, that you're barely scratching the surface on it. I mean, you think of how many vehicles are out there, you know, especially how many Jeeps get produced. They're out there somewhere. You just got to go find them. And when you do, you'll bring them in. And sort of a little tease that I haven't announced on our YouTube channel. I was in the process of filming the video the other day, and my neighbor started cutting his grass. And then my camera started overheating, so we had to stop filming. And I was like, it's about the newest Jeep that we just acquired. And this one's the Keeper. So I'll say it here, but I still want everybody to go out and go check it out once the video does post. We bought a Jeep that is a 1947 Willys. This Jeep was made, excuse me, to put it in perspective, 2 years after World War II ended. I want you to really think about that. And the fact that it's still running and alive really says something, I think, for the brand. Even though it has had a motor swap and all that, there's a saying that they say old Jeeps never die. They just get rebuilt. And so that's, you know, definitely something that we hold true. And, you know, we're hoping to make a little bit more coin off of doing stuff. I'm going to use it like a golf cart around the neighborhood, though. I don't feel comfortable actually riding on the road. So, you know, needs a floor, needs seats, needs a fuel tank, etc. So, but awesome. It's pretty cool. But I'm going to show everybody on the YouTube channel in a video that should post in the next couple of days. You know, we have had a lot going on family wise, so it's kind of been tough to get our videos posted, but we're getting there. So just please stay patient if you haven't, if you are subscribed or if you watch the channel.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. Ryan, I really appreciate your time. Send Lindsay our best.
Absolutely.
Also, congratulations on the future family on the way.
Thank you,
can't wait to see how that comes out. Did you decide that y'all are going to figure out the sex of the baby, or are y'all going to leave that to surprise?
Baby girl on the way, my friend.
Look at you, man.
Nice.
I'm ecstatic. I'm so pumped. October, we have a little baby girl. We've already got her for the first 10 years of her life covered for shoes. So
there you go.
Well, congratulations again. And thanks again for coming out tonight. I appreciate everybody who was out in the chat. Y'all don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Y'all have a great night, and y'all have fun picking out there, guys. Good night.
Night, everybody.